It's 6:20. This is KERA News. I'm Stephanie Kuo. People caught with small amounts of marijuana in Dallas will be issued citations instead of going straight to jail. The Dallas City Council voted this afternoon to participate in a so-called cite and release program. City officials say marijuana arrests disproportionately affect minorities. Councilmember Philip Kingston says the cite and release effort will save police officers time by keeping more of them on the streets.
If you are taking a young man to jail for possession of marijuana, you are wasting the dollars we gave you. And you are hurting our citizens. You're not serving and protecting. You're harming these young people.
Last month, Harris County in Houston launched its own cite and release project. Also today, the City Council approved up to $100,000 to bulk up security for the city's emergency siren system. As KERA's Bill Zeeble reports, that system was hacked last weekend.
When it works, usually in a storm or under a tornado threat, this is what the 156 outdoor sirens sound like. Last weekend, for more than an hour Friday night into Saturday morning, all the sirens went off repeatedly. Starry skies were clear. There were no storms. City officials say the warning system was hacked. After discussing the problem in an emergency meeting Wednesday, council members approved up to another $100,000 to West Shore Services for immediate security enhancements. The mayor and most of the council, including Philip Kingston, liked the move.
We can't discuss technical details with the public because of security concerns, but at least from my perspective, the staff's approach to this was generally good, and their proposal is something that I have confidence will ensure that the siren system is secure in the future.
It's not immediately clear where the extra money will come from. There are a few options, according to Rocky Vaz, the city's director of emergency management.
It's going to be way under 100,000. There might be some within our siren maintenance budget that we might be able to. If not, we have to have a conversation with our budget office to make some funding available.
For now, at least, Vaz says siren security has been enhanced and the system works. Bill Zeeble, KERA News.
The airstrike that President Trump ordered last week on Syria continues to reverberate. Today on Think, journalist and civil rights lawyer Alia Malik talked about the impact of the airstrikes.
The damage was minimal in terms of preventing the ability of the Assad regime to continue to carry out attacks, even with conventional weapons from that airfield. It didn't seem to me that this was going to bring us closer to a place where Assad is acting with less impunity. It wasn't yet, you know, a more greater coherent policy has yet to be articulated. So we're waiting. We're several days later. I'm waiting to see what will be the outcome of Secretary of State Tillerson's discussions in Russia. I'm waiting to hear a little bit more as to how the administration wants to deal with the problem in Syria. But I also weigh that against the things that President Trump and, you know, candidate Trump said about Syrians refugees along the way that really, really maligned them and didn't seem to express any sympathy for them. So, you know, I'm taking in information and data as it comes in.
Alia Malik wrote the book, The Home That Was Our Country, A Memoir of Syria. She speaks to the DFW World Affairs Council next Tuesday. This episode of Think re-airs tonight at 10. You can listen to the podcast at think.kera.org. One of the world's leading landscape architects is in town this week. His name is Peter Walker, and he's the winner of the first Richard Bertel Award in the Arts at UT Dallas. Walker redesigned the UT Dallas campus. He's leading a public forum at another project he designed right now, the garden at the Nashville Sculpture Center, which has been affected by glare cast by the nearby museum tower. Walker sat down with KERA's Chris Boyd to talk about his North Texas projects and his approach to his work.
Lots of people were concerned when it became obvious that there would be more sun glare streaming into the Nasher Garden. Have you seen changes that concern you?
Oh, yeah, that's not over. Trees think sun comes from a particular direction. They get used to that. They start growing, and the older they get, the harder it is for them to change. For us, it's damage, and it's every year. We have trouble with the lawns every year. The longer range trouble and the one that's the hardest to fix is that the oak trees are now having smaller leaves. They don't want to expose themselves. And so the trees will, in the long run, those are trees that could be 100, 120, maybe 140 years. They will not live that long.
There are some things that your designs can influence, if not control. You can affect how noise filters in from nearby streets. You can affect the way the light filters into the space. But you don't, you know, you're outdoors. So you don't have total control over that. How do you learn to sort of make peace with the things that will be out of your control?
Well, let's talk about Nashor. It's a perfect case in point. Nashor daughters were very concerned that there were all these high-rise buildings around and that you would not have a peaceful setting for the sculpture. But I pointed out that Central Park has towers all around it. And that sort of competition between the romantic aspect of the gardens at Central Park and this urban setting is one of the great contrasts, one that makes it really beautiful. We were right by the freeway. Right now, that's not much of a problem because they built the park, Clyde Warren, right across the freeway. So we don't have the sound we used to have. But what we did for the sound was to have fountains, which produced a sort of a white noise. And that was the way we dealt with sound. We competed with it. In any project, you're dealing with the design, the specific design, and the space you're trying to make and the scale you're trying to achieve. But you do have all those things, and you get used to, being outdoors.
We haven't yet talked much about UT Dallas, but people talk about just the transformation of the campus. Talk a little bit about what went into your thinking.
Well, I met Margaret McDermott at a party. She told me about this thing that she had started, she and her husband and several other couples at Texas Instrument. And she said, it just doesn't look right to me. It's not turning the way I had hoped. So she was looking for a landscape architect who could do a project out there that could spiff it up, make it more look like a campus, because it did look a little like an industrial park. It had very little character. Buildings were not particularly good except for the library. And she had a dream about this thing. And her solution to that was to do a single project. We got a contract to do a master plan to show where this thing was going. And we discovered a number of things, like they didn't really have enough land. They should be conserving land immediately. There were these creeks that were in the old cotton fields, and part of them had been put underground, part of them had been lost, part of them had been civil engineered away. And those were the last remnants of the natural landscape that was there. So we took that scale of thinking and then tried to make the first part something distinct enough so you would remember it. And the whole idea was to have something that didn't look like any other school and yet looked like something, looked like a campus. And, of course, the project kept growing and growing and growing. And Margaret, instead of complaining, she said, well, what's next? What's next? You know, so she was pushing to really make a huge change. And I think she was the energy behind what we were able to do. One of her favorite things to say to me when we have dinner is she says, Pete, what's next? And that's a remarkable stimulant to my thinking.
That was landscape architect Peter Walker talking with KERA's Chris Boyd. You can listen to more of their conversation at think.kera.org. Coming up tomorrow morning, Denton's Thin Line Festival has always centered on documentary films. For its 10th edition, the festival is branching out. Our big screen team talks with the Thin Line's film programmer about adding narrative movies to the mix. That's at 8:22 during morning edition. Tonight, 64 degrees and cloudy. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, high of 81, low 62 degrees. Right now, it's 75 in Dallas. This is KERA News.